ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Daksha said, "My sons, we are not at all freed from the three depths. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narada Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their progress towards good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods and their father." Purport. As soon as a Brahmana takes birth, he assumes three kinds of debts. Debts to great saints, debts to the demigods, and debts to his father. The son of a Brahmana must... The son of a Brahmana must undergo celibacy, brahmacharya, to clear his debts to the saintly persons. That's very interesting. He must perform ritualistic ceremonies to clear his debts to the demigods. And he must beget children to become free from his debts to his father. Prajapati Daksha argued that although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless one fulfills his obligations to the demigods, the saints, and his father. Since Daksha's sons had not liberated themselves from the three depths, how could Narada Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decision of the Shastras, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhutapta ninam pitinam nakim karunayam rinicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam Gato Mugundam Parihrityakartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the Pitas, and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation, even if one performs no yajñas, one is freed from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is freed from all debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Therefore, Narada Muni was completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce this material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Haryashvas and Shavalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narada Muni. Daksha therefore addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and Asadu, a non-saintly person. Since Narada Muni was a great saint and Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. He merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of Prajapati Daksha, enabling them to return home back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati. te deve Gauravani pracharine Nirvesesha Shunyavadi Vaskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In this verse Prajapati Daksha gives one reason why he is so much infuriated with the preaching of Narada Muni. Yesterday we heard that Prajapati Daksha had a plan to make his sons instruments in his mission, so to say, to populate the universe. And when Narada Muni came and preached to them to become sannyasis, he was very much frustrated because he felt his plan was ruined by the preaching of Narada Muni. Now, in today's verse, Prajapati Daksha gives a second, or gives a reason. He says, my sons can actually not become sannyasis. It is totally against the scriptures because they have still debts to saintly persons, to the demigods and their father. Now, what does this mean? Debts to the saintly person means to read the Vedic scriptures. Here Prabhupada says debts to the saintly person really means to follow the law of Brahmacharya. You see, there's a difference of opinion between Prabhupada, who is a sannyasi, and Prajapati Daksha. Prabhupada says that this difference of opinion is eternal between the renounced and the attached. So there's another debts against the demigods. What does this mean? Debts against the demigods means to perform yagyas and let the demigods share in the result and actions of the yagyas. And debts to the father means to have a family, and just like he had a family and gave birth to you, you can liquidate your debt towards the father by giving also a child, producing also children, having also a family. Now, as we have already seen, these debts are very important to materialistic people. The Kama Kanda scriptures, which are for material people, say that if someone does not fulfill these debts and irresponsibly gives them up, he has to find 10,000 brahmanas, Adishesh, 10,000 brahmanas who are renounced by drinking only milk, and engage these brahmanas for a long, long time in yagyas. So, according to Karmakanda, the brahmacharis here, who have run away from their obligations, and also the devotees in general, actually, by brahmacharis, also those who are grihasthas don't do worship to the demigods. You would have to now find 10,000 brahmanas who only drink milk. That's very, very difficult. And you would have to engage them in yagyas for a long amount of time. That costs a lot of money, these yagyas. So you first would have to go collecting, and then do this. Otherwise, there is a great problem. So, Maharaj Daksha, or Prajapati Daksha, was very infuriated because this Narada Muni preached to his son. He had nothing against his son becoming sannyasis after 50 years, when they were 50 years old, but he was totally against it. He said, "You have ruined the life of my sons. You have made them debtors. They are guilty now. Do you know what you did? You are not saintly. You are a rogue. You are a religious criminal." This is a rogue. Now, Prajapati Daksha did this offense against Narada Muni because it is said, since time immemorial, people who have been in material consciousness are committing offense against great soul. That's always what they do. That's the way the psychology runs. That is the conflict between renunciation and enjoyment in this world. Let me read to you a verse from the fourth canto. There it says, "Nascharyam etat yat asatsu sadavadar mahat vininda punapat mavadishu shashyam mahapurusha pada pang subhir nirasta tejasu tat eva shobanam." It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. Everything depends on the strength of the recipient. For example, due to the scorching sunshine, many vegetables and flowers dry up and many grow luxuriantly. Thus it is the recipient that causes growth and dwindling. Similarly, mahiya sampara rajo bishekam, the dust of the lotus feet of great personality offers all good to the recipient, but the same dust can also do harm. Those who are offenders at the lotus feet of a great personality dry up. Their godly qualities diminish. A great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse offenses to the dust of that great soul's feet. Just as one can tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's head, but cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's feet. An offender glides down more and more. Therefore, he naturally continues to commit offenses at the feet of the great soul. Offenses are generally committed by persons who falsely identify with the impermanent body. King Daksha was deeply engrossed in a misconception because he identified the body with the soul. He offended the lotus feet of Lord Shiva because he thought that his body, being the father of the body of Sati, was superior to Lord Shiva's. So, here also again, Daksha creates an offense. His accusations against Narada Muni are not actually based on facts. The Karmakanda scriptures and their statements give people who are bent on enjoying this material world a possibility to do so in a regulated way. However, the statements of the Karmakanda scriptures are overruled by the statements of the Bhakti Shastras, those scriptures who are propagating the eternal truth of the spiritual soul's connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once there was a meeting of all the Upanishads and Puranas and so on, and they wanted to elect amongst them the top foremost and topmost Purana. And I forgot exactly how that meeting went about, but finally, ohne Gegenstimme, the Srimad Bhagavatam was chosen as the first and foremost representative, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is spotless, and it there is no material interest and therefore no material bondage in it. The Srimad Bhagavatam propagates the truth of the eternal purified soul in connection with Krishna, and that is surrender to the Supreme as a goal of life. Prajapati Daksha should have known this, and actually he knew it. It is not that he was totally ignorant. He knew that the statements of the Bhagavatam overruled the Karmakanda statements, which talk of depths to material, depths which one must first absolve in order to go further. And this verse here is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, which says it very clearly. Devashi bhutapta nrinam pitinam nakinkaronayam rini charajan savatmana yah sharanam sharanyam katomukundam pariritya kartam. That if one surrenders to the lotus feet of Mukunda, the shelter of everyone in this world, one will be absolved from all the different depths. In other words, don't worry, Bhagavadama, you don't have to find 10,000 brahmanas and then engage them in yagya, because you have not done these depths. No problem for you. For us, I meant to say. This is so because there is an eternal obligation which we have. This eternal obligation means to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in loving devotion. Relationships between men in this world are not of an eternal nature. Our eternal commitment is different than the temporary commitments which we may have. The eternal commitment is to Krishna, who waits for us to start in our devotional service. There is a very nice series of verses which I would like to read to you, which tell us very clearly how we are always dependent on the Supreme Lord Krishna in whatever we do. and how therefore our obligation is first towards him. Our sensory prowess, our mental power, our bodily strength, living force, immortality and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. Prajapati Daksha should have known that he is fully under the control of Krishna. Therefore, he should not have blasphemed Narada Muni, who was preaching to his sons about devotional service to Krishna. He should have actually been glad about the preaching of Narada Muni, who has kindly enlightened the fallen souls of their eternal obligation towards the Lord, on whom we are so dependent. The second verse, this is described also. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. You know, all of us, we are like puppets. There was a song, Puppets on the String. We are like puppets on the string in the hands of the Lord. Then it says, a foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive activities, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another element, animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. So in our birth and our death, our activities and our non-activities, we are totally dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead only. Therefore, our only duty is towards him, not towards others. If we first of all keep this in mind, this duty towards Krishna, then everything else will be taken care of automatically. The saints will be satisfied with us. The demigods will be satisfied with us. The forefathers will be satisfied. And also our father and mother will be satisfied with us if we are good devotees. There will be a time when your father and mother, who may now still a little bit antagonistic, be satisfied with you. They will feel, oh, my sin, my chika, my son and my daughter, they do actually the right thing. I know my parents were so opposed towards my joining the movement that they had arranged the police, the Ausländer Polizei, to finish the movement. And just one last signal was missing, which my father didn't want to give before the first you know, finding out how I would react. And now, this was a state, they were very much against it, but now they like devotees. Those devotees who have visited them have seen, well, they may still have other plans for me, but they like devotees. And I'm sure that there will be a time when they say you just did the right, the best thing in the world. They are not yet on this level, but it will come. So it works if you surrender to Krishna, but you have to fully surrender to Krishna. If you don't fully surrender to Krishna, you will be wandering between two worlds, wondering where your position is. Should you satisfy the one side? Should you satisfy the other side more? You will be wandering in the navel, in the fork, all alone. Yes. I've actually written a poem in this regard, which is quite... I plan to publish it soon. So this, now, one point of interest here, which I find especially interesting to devotees, I will now move a little bit out of the philosophical understanding, and go into Leela understanding, is that all of us here sometimes do not understand one very important point in our lives. Sometimes we come in a situation which is a little bit where we don't feel the same inspiration, for instance, which we felt when we came as bhaktas. Or we might come in a situation where we have difficulties, or we might see ourselves in a situation where we are forced to make a decision for surrender. There are many situations in our lives. I feel it's very important for a devotee in Krishna consciousness to understand that he is not a soul which is that we are not here for the first time, but that every one of us has to learn something in this life. I want to point out to you a very moving story of a love affair with an interesting outcome. Once there was a king called Bhishmaka who was very pious, and due to his pious activities he went to the higher planetary system, to the planet of Lord Brahma. Now when he was on that planet, he saw that Ganga Devi came with a pot full of Ganga water to bring to Pitamaha Bhishma. And the wind was blowing and waved her claws so that for a moment he saw the beautiful breasts of Ganga. And he felt very much allured or attracted to the personality of this heavenly personality, or actually spiritual personality, Ganga Devi, and desired her for a wife. And also Ganga, feeling the eyes full of desire resting on her person, looked to Bhishmaka and saw, oh, he is a saintly Bhishmaka, I also want to be his wife. Now Lord Brahma saw this desire in both of them. It was maybe a passing desire, but it was there. And he said, you are not behaving properly on the heavenly planets. You are full of lusty desires. I curse you that you go to planet Earth again and become man and woman, to man and wife, to satisfy your desires. And in this way, King Bhishmaka came to earth and was born as Shantanu, and Ganga came on earth being born as Ganga Devi. Now they met each other in the forest and they decided to become man and woman. But Ganga Devi, before doing, and said Ganga Devi, if you do oppose, I will have to leave you. So Ganga Devi and Maharaj Shantanu had children, 7 children, and whenever the child was born, Ganga Devi took her, took the child, it was a little baby, it was all sons, and threw the child into the Ganga and drowned her. And Shantanu just went like, no, I will not say anything, I will not do anything. What a cruel woman this is. Finally, when Ganga Devi took the 8th child, I will tell you later what happened then. So there was a reason why, see, Shantanu could not explain to himself or to others why his wife was doing this. But would we think if one Grihastha Mataji here would give birth to a child, and then we would see her at the Neka throwing the child into the Neka? I mean, we would not be very enthusiastic. And imagine she would do it 7 times. What would you think? It would be most disturbing, isn't it? And what would you think, now please, what would you think if you would find out she has no emotional problems? She just takes them as a matter of duty, la 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 la, plush. And there would be no craziness there. You would think, can you please tell me why you do this? There's such nice children. Give me the child if you don't like children. Then, you know, we would be totally disturbed by this. Isn't it, Adishesh? We would most probably call the police if we would not be able to deal with this. So there was a reason why Ganga Devi did it. The reason is very, very interesting. Has to do with previous lives. Actually, all the story has to do with previous lives. See, once the 8 Vasus went with their wives on a journey and passed the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni had a Kamadenu cow which was supplying him with ghee and milk and all kinds of sacrificial ingredients to perform his homa, his yagya or sacrifice. And the wife of one of the Vasus now developed a great attraction to that Kamadenu cow and talked to her husband until finally he relented and stole the Kamadenu cow of Vasishtha. When Vasishtha returned and did not find his Kamadenu cow, he went into a deep meditation and found out that the Vasus were the ones who had stolen the Kamadenu cow, and he called them to return the cow. All the 8 Vasus were forced by the powerful saint to return to the ashram, and Vasishtha said to them, because you have stolen the property of a saint, I curse you all to take birth on the human earth. See, it's not a blessing to be born on planet Earth. There are better places in the universe. I cause you to take birth there. Oh no, said the Vasus, don't do this to us. We don't want to come to this planet. Please, please, please. Sorry. They were not tired at all when they begged him. So Vasishtha said, alright, the curse has to take effect, but I can make your stay on earth shorter. Your mother who will be no one else than Ganga Devi, will drown you in the Ganga. Yoo-hoo! Said the Vasus. Fantastic! It's so nice that it will be short, our stay. Only the 8 Vasus, Vasu was going to... Only the 8th Vasu, who had relented, nachgegeben, to the demands of his wife, he will stay for a great time, for a long time on planet Earth. In fact, he will stay so long on Earth that only if he finally wants, he will be able to give up this earthly body. Now, after Ganga Devi had drowned her 7 sons, and she finally gave birth to a beautiful child. It was the 8th child. She was taking him without saying anything, going towards the Ganga. Shantanu said, "I can't tolerate this. He's my son. This cruel woman." She finally went in her way and said, "Stop!" I'm sorry, but he said it much louder. "What are you doing, you cruel woman, you beast, you witch, you this, you that? How can you just kill your own children? How can you be so cruel?" Ganga Devi turned around and said, "Well, I will not kill this son, but I will take him with me for 15 years in the forest, and there I will train him, and after 15 or 16 years I will give him back to you. This son will be a very glorious son." And then she disappeared with the son. Shantanu waited, and he felt great regret, "Oh, I've said something." Then after 16 years, he went one day to hunt in the forest, and all of a sudden he saw that there was a dam made from arrows, which impeded the flow of the Ganga. And when he looked which archer had done this, he saw a beautiful boy. He went towards him, but the boy ran away and came back with a beautiful woman, and that was Ganga Devi. "Here," said Ganga Devi, "is your son. His name is Devadatta. But I regret that I won't be able to stay with you. I will go now back to the heavenly planets. My time on earth is over." And then she went into the Ganga and disappeared in the Ganga, went to the heavenly planets. Now he was very had very much, he had tears in his eyes, but he left actually he went away and went into his palace and had great pleasure with his son, Devadatta, who later became known as Bhishma, when he took to the vow of Brahmachari. Yes. So, I just wanted to tell you this story, because in this story you hear about great personalities' past lives. Sometimes also we who are engaging in Krishna, or I'm 100% convinced that all of us who are engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness have past lives, and our present lives are still affected to some degree or another by our previous existences. We often forget this. We become too absorbed in the presence and in the little concerns of the presence, and we become too disturbed if there are things in the presence which we have to learn. We do not like to learn from we are clinging helplessly to our own little worlds and concepts and views, and are not ready to really let loose or give up our concepts, which might be still materialistically tainted. We all had previous lives. We are here, and we have something to learn here. Let us accept that. And in this way, make the great test of Krishna consciousness a successful test. All our tests which we have on Krishna consciousness are really only testing us on one point. Are we willing to surrender or are we not willing to surrender? Our way is the way of Narada Muni. Our way is the way which Daksha could not understand. It is the way of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, on this way, we might be faced with different tests which come due to our previous things which happened in previous lives or even in this life. But if we understand that we are soul, part and parcel of Krishna, who only yearn to be reconnected with Krishna, everything will go fast and easy. So, Hare Krishna, I hope that you could follow these points. There were many points and very small. I did not give so much time to each of the points. Hopefully it was enlightening for all of you. You could gain deepen your spiritual understanding. Hare Krishna. And are there any questions regarding these? Not related? So let us see if there is a related question first. Marcos? Yesterday. Mit related question heißt ob eine Frage da ist, die sich darauf bezieht. Bezieht sich deine Frage darauf? Kshatriyas should not beg on the doors of other people. This was in the purpose. Yeah, this is not a related question, so we will first have Vrindavaneshwari. Cynical. Is there healthy cynicism? I will answer the question in a different way. When devotees chastise a young devotee, the question is the motivation. Before you chastise anyone, you always have to ask yourself, is my motivation correct? Chastise, or if you want to correct someone, you always have to ask, is the motivation correct? If you have anger in your mind, or if you are, how should I say, not interested in the welfare of that devotee, you should not chastise. So if we sometimes see how a devotee chastises, uses strong words, cynical words or sarcastic words, if his motivation is to help the young devotee, it's very healthy. He might do this to challenge the misconceptions of the young devotee. For instance, if one says to someone, this is just a way of saying things. You might, for instance, say to a devotee who did just that, who was very arrogant, you might say, "Oh, you are humbleness in person." You might say, this might be said, and he will understand by this cynicism. The motivation is important. We should correct in order to help. Otherwise, best not to try to correct. You correct in order to smash. Ooh, that's not good. That never works. It never helps also. So, Marcus had a question with the Kshatriyas begging at the door of Grihastas. Yes. No. Stealing it. Aha, so. Oh ja, oh Markus, ich habe Offense gegen dich gemacht. Sorry. Das war ja so related. Das ist jetzt zum Beispiel das, was wovon wir eben sprachen in der ersten Antwort. Ja. Kshatriyas dürfen nicht die Kshatriyas are not, yes, they should make their own living and not go begging. But they were stealing, I mean, this was something else. They were the Vasus were. It was the eighth Vasu just could not resist the charms of his wife, it seems. Den hat sie hat ihn einfach um Finger gewickelt. Is there a reason why? Sorry? Ja, in the Vanashram Institution, only the Brahmacharis and Sannyasis are allowed to beg from the Grihastas. The reason here is that the Brahmacharis and Sannyasis are applying the money or fruits or ghee or whatever in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as direct mission, but the Grihastas have to maintain a household and they use the money in this. That's, by the way, there is a very important rule for those who collect donations. I'm very happy that you have asked this question because it gives me the opportunity to speak about this. When we get donations, either as Brahmacharis or Grihastas in the movement for Krishna consciousness, we should be very, very careful to only engage them in preaching. I have seen this personally. If you are not responsible with Lakshmi, just waste it in other or buy something nice for yourself, then Krishna doesn't give any longer donations. I once had got a donation. I remember when I was very young, and it was winter, and I thought, wow, now it's winter time. This donation, I will buy very good shoes, moon boots. I somehow had a high attraction to moon boots because I liked moon boots for their warmth. Die sind ja recht warm, moon boots. And I remember I had said I would use the donation in something else. But I became so attracted by moon boots, and my mind rationalized, well, if I don't have warm feet, I cannot preach any longer. I can do nothing. I'm especially susceptible, also empfindlich, to cold. And I just took the money and bought. And after that, I went to a person who wanted to give us 10,000 marks. And we asked him, and he said no. Everything was already clear. We just came with a bag, you know, chup, put it in here. It was so clear. Cluck, thank you. So on. But he said no. I could not understand why. And later I understood, because you have not used the money properly. I had cheated. Nothing came any longer. So even if you are brahmachari, you cannot use donations for yourself. If you want a donation for yourself, you have to say it. I'm sorry, I have cold feet. Can you please give me a donation for moon boots? This you have to say, but don't do it in another way. This is a very important principle. So another thing is the brahmacharis, Marcos, they are engaged in preaching, book distribution, preaching, work, and so on and so forth. And therefore, if we support them, we support the preaching, but grihasthas, well, this all doesn't apply so much to grihasthas and Krishna consciousness, but we speak of the Vedic grihastha. The Vedic brahmachari also didn't distribute books. I mean, he was going and doing something to propagate spiritual life. Therefore, he was supported by the grihasthas. But the kshatriyas were engaging in administration and concerns, and they were owning their money. The brahmacharis and sannyasis are the children of society. So good. Thank you very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai.